October is a special month for me, so I'm going to talk about me for a minute. Then I'll talk about you. And especially I'll talk about God. How about that? I got this all out of order, don't I? I just want to take you back to October of 1993. So anybody who wasn't born then, don't tell me that, okay? Okay. It was a time in 1993 where I was unchurched. I had a business that I was running, and it was doing quite well, but I was unchurched. And many people, as you may know, have had church hurt one way or another. Either had some disagreements, some places where you didn't feel like you fit, or perhaps they've even asked you to leave for whatever reason. And so you drift away and you think that you can never be in a church again as a result of that, because of what those people in that church may have done. Now, my relationship with God did not end in 1993, but I was unchurched. And so I was just going about my life as many people often do, but there was a big missing piece for me in the fact that I no longer was preaching or teaching or conducting Bible studies. I wasn't in a relationship with any other believers at the time. It was essentially Becky and me, and we would have our God time alone. And so there was this part of me at that time, I was in a spiritual dryness, really a thirst, essentially a desert experience, I would have to say. As much as my relationship with God began even as a child, that was a relationship I went back to. My Jesus of my childhood was a Jesus that I was still traveling with and who was with me throughout my entire life. But I thought for sure that that was the end of my church experience, so I would just have to find a way to worship God however I could and we could. And then I read scripture, Isaiah 55:13, one day, and it said, "Where once there were thorns, cypress trees will grow. Where nettles grew, myrtles will sprout up. These events will bring great honor to the Lord's name. They will be an everlasting sign of his power and love." And I don't know if you know much about plants or if you ever had that situation where sometimes those of you that garden, everything in the garden seems to dry up and wither and the weeds take over. And before you know it, you're growing more weeds than flowers, right? And there's that experience of thinking, well, I don't know what to do with this. It's such a mess. It's that's the end of it. And many times throughout your life, my life, our life, there are situations in our life where we think that that's the end of the road, right? We think that because of things that have happened to us or other people have done to us, that really has such a devastating emotional impact and spiritual impact that we think that's the end of the road. That nothing will ever again be good or joyful or peaceful or enjoyable. That there's nothing but darkness in those moments. But what I see in this particular song, Isaiah, as he speaks it, it's at a time when Israel was going through a dark time. Israel was going a part of separation from God, much like I was in 1993. And it says, where once there were thorns, where once there was pain, where once there was sorrow, where once there was loss, where once there was devastation, where once there was isolation, where once there was depression, where once there was illness, where once there was things that you couldn't even believe to get through, where once everyone turned against you, when once that happened, there were only thorns. Cypress will grow up. What does this tell us in the scripture literally? What it tells us is this. There's no such thing as only once. Where once something happened, guess what? God steps in, right? And something else grows, doesn't it? Right? There's always growth after loss. There's always something new coming your way. Even after worst, darkest days of your life, there's where once there was devastation, God brings about resurrection, does he not? Where once there's death, there's new life, is there not? Where once you were alone, suddenly you got a whole family of church members. Is that not true? They just sprout up. God causes it to sprout up. So whatever you're going through today or now in your life, or you know of people going through some things where once in this very moment, perhaps people are in a tough space in their life, a tough spot, or in a spiritual dryness, in a spiritual thirst, in a sense of aloneness, or whatever it is, a rejection, or whatever it is that other people sometimes do to us, and we're hurt, guess what? God brings restoration. God brings hope. God brings newness. God brings new life. So where once you were lost, guess what? Now you're found. Once you were blind, and now you see how great God is, right? So in 1993, October, I got a telephone call in the midst of all this problem. And a person asked me, would I help start a church? What? I told God I am done with church. Once. The problem with God is, He doesn't take no for an answer. He doesn't give up on you. He doesn't mean just because someone else rejected you or there's a reason why things happened in your life at a certain time in your life, that doesn't mean it's the end. It just means there's something else coming. Remember, God is the God of commas. Because once then, right? And so, obviously in October, I had a decision to make. Which brings me to the second part of this sermon, 1 Peter 2. Because for me, I had some conditions. Not for God. For what kind of church I would help start. What kind of church would it be? And so 1 Peter 2 came to mind to me. You are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people. Ever been rejected by people? But chosen by God. For a great honor. Christ, the very cornerstone, was rejected by people, but chosen by God for great work. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are holy priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God, as the scriptures say. I am placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for great honor. And anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Yes, you who trust him recognize the honor God has given him. So for me, all I wanted as a condition was that the church I was a part of would have Christ as the cornerstone. That although we had been rejected by others, God had chosen us for something different, a unique ministry, a unique mission, a unique church. Not so unique in the sense that many churches have Christ as their cornerstone, right? But that became for me what this church's foundation would always be. That Christ would be the cornerstone. Going further down in verse 9, it says, you are a chosen people, a royal holy priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. For he called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. Anybody here ever been called out of darkness? Have we all been at one time or another? Yes. Into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. This is Peter talking. You know Peter. Where once he was a loudmouth. Where once he told Jesus, why are you going to the cross? Where once he said, I'll follow you anywhere, and he failed three times, right? Once he was like that, wasn't he? And once you've been some of those things as well, right, one or another? Once you've had some problems, right? Once you've had some weaknesses, right? Once you had some failures, right? Once you've had some quirkiness, right? Well, daily some of us have. Okay. See, but we don't live in once, do we? We live in then. Once you had no idea. Listen, all of you that are a part of Christ the Cornerstone Church today, and there's many more others, right, that have been here, and those that will still be here. What did you know that you were once not a part of this church? We've been here nearly 30 years. What were you doing, some of you? All right, some of you weren't born. I get that. And some of you are way beyond that time. Yes. But the point is this. Look what God has done. Look what God has done. When you step back as I do and I look at what 30 years of this church has become because of putting Christ as the center, following his teachings, as he said in the Great Commission, which we heard about last week, part two of that was not only going and making disciples and baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, was teach these disciples to obey my commands. That's what Jesus said, right? So the second part of, you know, the first thing that happened when Peter was preaching here, by the way, he was speaking to the Jews and the Gentiles both. Because some of the Jews hadn't become Christians yet. And some of the Gentiles hadn't been either. But guess what? God took all those people and put them together. So it was a once and for all people kind of church that Peter founded through Jesus Christ. Isn't that cool? And guess what Christ the Cornerstone has done? The very same thing. All people are welcome here. Shape, sizes, background, gender, whatever you call it, I don't care what it is. All people need Christ, do they not? Yes. And once you were lost, but now you found the right place, the right time, right? So the church was established by Peter. In this preaching here, 1 Peter 2. And our church's scripture became verse 10. The stone the builder rejected has now become the cornerstone. And anyone who trusts in him will never, never, ever, ever be disgraced or shamed, some other versions say. Or be disappointed, it says in the Message Bible. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, you'll never be disgraced. Your once will no longer be a once, will it? Because you'll have a lot of thens, won't you? So what do we do with what we have now? What is this great and awesome church about to become? Happy birthday to you. See, the cool thing about God is he always completes what he begins. And he always has a plan for something greater than what you can dream or imagine. You know, back in October of 1993, there were 12 of us. And now there are thousands of us, Cornerstonians, that have come through these doors. And all of us had a once. All of us had a past. All of us had our places where we felt rejected or cast out or cast aside or being unworthy or being unvalued or devalued, whatever you want to call it. Yet God calls us something else, right? Out of 1 Peter. A holy nation, separated, set apart. Priests. This comes from Exodus, when Moses was told by God, if you follow my commands, you will be priests for me, a holy nation. Do you know that you're part of something remarkable and fantastic and stupendous and magnanimous and many more adjectives that I could say? Jesus Christ himself established this church. Because when you're at home minding your own business, living life to the largest capacity that you could without a church, family, in that loneliness of that, thinking that's all it was ever going to be, the suddenly of God shows up to create something that you are a part of today. And I want to say it this way. This church would not be here had it not been for all of the people that have been here and been a part of this. This has never been other than God himself. This has never been a one-person show or one-person band or one-person anything. It's been all the people through the power of the Holy Spirit working through their gifts and talents and their dedication and their sacrifice and all the things that God brought forth to us, created who we are today. So what's the future hold? More of that. More of that. But I want it to be in such a way that you hang on to another scripture. So I'm going to give you some advice for the last quarter of this year going forward into next year and beyond and beyond and beyond. Because here's the thing. It's so important to be committed to Jesus Christ with your entire life. It's to seek first the kingdom of God above all else, and everything else will be added to it. And commitment means sacrifice. Commitment means not giving up. Commitment means not getting your way sometimes. Commitment means just hanging in there, even by a thread, to do the work that God calls you to do. So in 1 Corinthians 15:13, it says this. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable, like a cornerstone would be, right? You've ever seen a building get torn down? The cornerstone is still standing. But we have to also be strong and immovable in our convictions to proclaim the good news of the gospel message to everyone and to continue God's works in and through us all, to minister to others wherever and however we can, however God calls that upon us, right? We show we are Christians by our love. By our love, by our sacrifice. Always work enthusiastically. Can I see some enthusiasm? Yeah. I'm going to see it again, apparently. Enthusiasm! Oh, all right, beautiful, beautiful. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord. For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless or wasted. Every little thing that you do enthusiastically. Yeah, even the kids like it. I love children. Yeah. Because some days you don't feel enthusiastic, do you? Some days it's difficult in your walk with God, right? Some days it's hard to move forward and forgive someone or love someone or serve someone or give of yourself to someone or put yourself aside for someone else, right? But when Christ is the center of you, what happens is the Holy Spirit empowers you to make you strong enough so that you can do the work enthusiastically to benefit the lives of others as you work for the Lord. See, some of you have jobs, right? And you think your employer is that company or that entity, right? Who's your real provider? God. Who's your real employer? God. That's who you work for. The work of the Lord. Let me tell you something. There's nothing more beneficial and blessed or more awesome than working for God and seeing all the things that you get before your eyes, the miracles before your eyes, life changed, people transformed, people coming to Christ, people being baptized, people being changed, going from darkness to light, watching someone have cancer and be healed, all those kinds of things that you will see throughout your life journey in this church and in other places or in your own personal life. There's nothing more valuable than that that gives you more things to go, wow, I can't wait to see what God's going to do next. Those are the blessings. Those are the blessings that you get that money cannot buy. There's a billion-dollar lottery right now. Christ the Cornerstone has hit a quadrillion-billion-dollar, if there's such a thing, lottery, right? And souls saved, lives changed. We don't have enough time to tell you everything. I hope I live long enough that I can tell you most of everything that God has done in this church. The church that didn't exist. Once it was not a place. Once it was not a church at all. But today it's a thriving, moving, growing, phenomenal church today. And you help make it that way. You got to understand that. Everything you do, every prayer changes everything. We prayed for all of you to get here. I'm serious. When we moved here in 2006, there was a bunch of people and a bunch of people left too because they thought it was too big of an undertaking because of the financial burdens we had taken on for this place. And the place was half empty, but I'm a half full pastor. So I prayed for more to come. And look what happened. Look what happened. Look what happened. Some of you are coupled today because you came here. You found the love of your life in this place, Jesus Christ. You thought I was going to think it was a person, didn't you? Ha ha, yeah. God changes our once and our past to an eternal forever of blessings. Isn't that exciting? And God is the one who does it. I hope you realize that, right? You probably heard stories about elephants, right, and mice. You know how they, you know, there's different stories that kids in kids' books and stuff like that. And there's a story about an elephant and a mouse who were traveling through the jungle together. And so the mouse jumped on the back of the elephant, and they go across this creaky wooden bridge, and it's the elephant's so big, and it's, you know, they're bouncing through it. And the mouse is like hanging on by the ears, those big ears that elephants have. And they get to the other side, and the mouse says, wow, look what we did. Yeah. Say, the elephant in our life is God, right? We're the mice. We ride along God's back, and look what God does. Now, if you jump off and you think you're going to do it by yourself, I don't know. There may be a mouse trap around. You never know. You need that elephant, don't you? God, you and me, us together, through our commitment to make Christ the cornerstone, of our lives, individually, collectively, as a church, going forward, however long this church continues to be here, until Christ comes again. It's our convictions to follow Christ's example, right? Follow his leading, follow his commandments. Really, we know there's only two. You remember those two. We've said it enough times. Love God with all your heart and soul and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do that, church. And work enthusiastically. For the Lord. Because no matter what you do, it doesn't matter how much, how big, how long, how wide, how whatever, how fantastic you do what you do. Because remember, we're all imperfect people too, right? We're going to get it wrong sometimes, aren't we, as humans? But when we follow the Holy Spirit, we're going to get it right every time, aren't we? So as our anniversary comes up in a few months, just know the church started in October to put together what we wanted as scriptures so that we would know how to guide this church properly, how to do what God would want it to do and be, how to become more like Christ. And we knew that spiritual enrichment and growth in all of us is what everyone needed the most. And we also knew that we would never reject a person, but ask a person to accept Christ into their lives. And we knew that that would change them for eternity. And so the mission still stays clear, does it not? Christ is the cornerstone. Those of us that serve Christ will continue to lead this church. All of you are necessary in that process. But you gotta stay on the elephant. Stay close to Jesus. Stay yoked to him, the vine that you need. Listen to the power of the Holy Spirit giving you the power and the strength to go through your life. Now, if you're in a once situation right now and you need to come to Christ, today would be the day to do that. We'll allow you to do that this morning as well. Just ask him, can I take a ride? Can I get connected to you for the rest of my life? And help me serve you enthusiastically, no matter what, no matter where, no matter who. And this church will live on to become all it's yet to be. Once there were thistles, now they're cypress trees. And the myrtle tree, where the birds come and find a nest of safety. That's what Cornerstone also is. So are you a part of our future reference of all this today? Isn't this a special October for you as well? Even though you once were lost, now you have found for sure. And you found your mission, you found your vision, and you found a place here. We need you, we want you. You're valuable to us and the future of this church. And we thank you for all you've already done and all you'll continue to do at Christ the Cornerstone. Amen.